resurrection, and life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? These are the words of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11. This event about the resurrection of Lazarus demonstrates the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Jesus, and invites us to receive the promise of everlasting life. Jesus wept is one of the statements made about this passage, because he felt the human pain of the loss of his friend, and at the same time felt the pain that his other family and friends were all feeling as they mourned and grieved the loss of Lazarus. But it also demonstrates the divinity of Jesus in that he raised Lazarus from the dead. That caused a lot of consternation among people that really should have been happy to see this and blessed by it. But instead they plotted to kill Lazarus again and kill Jesus. For us, this passage also invites us deeper into the promise of everlasting life. This is the promise echoed in the famous verse of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The promise that Jesus gave to the sister of Lazarus was, your brother will rise to life. In this statement, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus makes some very powerful statements that assertions that are then can be unpacked and cover a lot more territory than just a few words seem like they might. When Jesus says, I am, it's in the context of the great I am, the one who identifies, self-identifies as I am in the burning bush with Moses. And then there are many other statements that go along with that throughout the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus then takes up that identity and makes seven particular statements, among others, where he uses the phrase I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hearing these words in that frame brings us to an elevated place in our thinking, where we see the connection there with of Jesus as the Son of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, who gives everlasting life, and who invites us to be participants in that everlasting life, full participants with him. Speaking of speaking out of the fullness of his divinity, Jesus made this promise, I am the resurrection and the life. In stating this, he said that those who believe in him would live, even though they die, yet shall they live. We remind people of this, section of the story of this event is fresh on the minds of everybody at our funerals. In the most Christian burial rituals include the reference and the promise to this resurrection in the last day that is referenced here in this passage. Not everybody believed in the resurrection back then, and not everybody believes in the resurrection now. But the promise of Jesus in part is that the graves will open, the dead in Christ will rise. Paul framed it, he said that in the last day the trumpet shall sound, the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead shall rise. And then those who remain will be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The imagery of the resurrection is one that gives us hope for the future of a restoration even of our physical bodies. What a wonderful confirmation that will be. And the Bible doesn't really try to explain why why God wants to raise our bodies back up. But I think it might be tied into the reason why they were created in the first place. Because we were created not only with our spirit, but with our flesh, which does not have the same quality of life that our spirit has. And yet, we were clothed in flesh, Adam and Eve, in the creation story. Everybody is clothed in flesh, and then everybody lays aside the earthly tabernacle, as the apostle put it. But then the promise is that everybody will take up that earthly tabernacle again. And the example of that was in Jesus himself, where he was born into a physical body, which then was taken away from him or laid aside by him in the crucifixion, and then restored in the resurrection. But there's a difference in that resurrection body. Everything that is demonstrated by Jesus in the resurrection that we celebrate at Easter and for many weeks after, demonstrates that an elevation of that body demonstrates that that body is more than it was before. And it's released from the limitations that precede the resurrection and has a lot more abilities and a lot more options of how we can live in that body. And it was his body, a physical body that was raised from the dead, that also ascended into heaven. So that kind of opens up our imagination to what all that he's calling us to and what the Bible continues to say after that about him, and the visions and the dreams and the imagery that come on after the resurrection. The apostle wrote that when we lay aside this earthly tabernacle, we have another, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In our communion liturgy, one of the liturgies that I like to remind everybody of at time of the sacrament is that it goes like this, says, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for you at Calvary, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. So the resurrection is a big part of the promise of eternal life. Their bodies will be brought to their completion, that they'll be perfected. Another thing that we say in the opening part of our funeral ceremony is that we quote from the Bible where it says that we, right now, we are God's children. What we shall be remains to be seen, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. That's how it's phrased in the Good News translation. That translation goes on to say, those who live and believe in me will never die. Or as I read in the King James, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So that takes this whole event to a whole nother level too. In addition to this resurrection in the future of the body, Jesus offers that this life that we have, life in the Spirit, our life that we have that is that comes from our faith and relationship with Christ, is already eternal regardless of our physical state. Going back to that example of Jesus, when he died, he didn't stop living. When his body was crucified, he didn't stop living. He continued to live. And when he took his body back up, then he continued to live in that body. And when it ascended into heaven, he continued to live in that body. Now, there's not any way we can really define any of that because we haven't experienced it. It's another one of those things that, like a mystery, I have not seen nor ever heard. We can't really wrap our minds around that, how that works. We just have to live into it and enjoy the discovery. But we hear Christ calling us throughout the Gospels, and the apostles calling us and inviting us through the rest of the Scriptures, and even throughout the Old Testament, the prophets and everybody else is inviting us from the beginning to the end, from cover to cover. To live into the spiritual life. That's the part that is the deepest. That's the part that is the greatest, that we have regardless of whatever is going on around us. That spiritual life is the part that we need to focus on, that we're invited to focus on, we're encouraged to focus on developing, cultivating, living into the Spirit, life in the Spirit. Those who place their confidence in Christ in this kind of a way as the life, they will not be disappointed. They will not lose that life. and we'll be a part of them, us, forever. And that's a wonderful promise. That's part of it that we can live into right now. And regardless of our what's going on in our country and in our world with the pandemic, or regardless of what's going on in our personal lives and our family and the struggles and difficulties that many are going through right now that are independent of the pandemic, they're just the things that people are having to struggle with. And there's a lot of that going on. In the midst of all of that, Christ continues to promise us victory and hope and life. And that no matter what happens, we'll still have our life with Christ, hid in God with Christ. And we still have our future of heaven. And we still have our future of continuing relationships today, tomorrow, and forever with God, with each other. We still can grow in the Spirit from one moment to the next, stepping in the light, as the song says, a day at a time, living into the spiritual life. So then Jesus concludes his little statement that we read here with this question: believest thou this? Do you? We're invited to believe the promise of life. Sometimes things happen that make that hard to believe. Times like this, times when it seems like the wave of death is encompassing the world for many people. It threatens the health of so many. In addition to, you know, all the things that everybody's already going through. In addition to the heartbreaks and the passing of individuals from this life to the next. In addition to the struggles of all of our daily living, all the things everybody's going through, different ones are having different struggles right now that they would be having with or without a virus going around. So all of that, provides a context for a promise that we still have life and that we will always have this life, that we will always have this hope and promise of the future. We don't know how it all works out. You know, we don't know all about what Lazarus and what he did after this resurrection and the rest of his family and other friends. We know a little bit what the Bible tells us about some of the disciples that were there and about Jesus, but they're pretty, they're not very, there's not a lot of information there. They're not just a lot of detail for us to look at. What is given is that the life that was in Christ continues, that those who have their life in Christ continue in their life, and that we have this promise that we can believe or not believe. And Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? And he asks us, do you believe this? How we answer that question makes all the difference in how we go forward from here. Believest thou this? In the name of Jesus, amen.